You're listening to Your Rivers Are Wrong, the podcast.
Good morning, or evening, or afternoon, whenever you may be. Welcome back to the Your Rivers Are Wrong podcast. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Dante.
And I'm one of the other hosts. My name is Marilyn.
And we're here, as we are every week, to talk about the wonderful whimsies of world building, the arts and aesthetics of setting up a setting, and telling stories born from it. Isn't that right?
It is right. It's so right.
This is so right. More right than it's ever been.
We're so on the same frequency here. It's beautiful.
Wow. So locked in, as if we don't say the same thing every week for every episode. Nope. How are you doing this week? How's it been?
Ups and downs, but usually up, which is good.
That's good. That's good.
I watched a whole bunch of home renovation, like Netflix shows yesterday. Didn't have the time for it, but I did it anyway. You know.
Just unprompted home renovation?
Yeah. I don't know. I had the itch of just watching a bunch of home renovation videos. It was very satisfying. I'll have
to
say.
The primal urge for
I love my makeover scenes, you know? Like, what can I say? I'm a simple person. It was good and also a little bit too much. So now I am hopefully out of that loophole and ready for other things.
Amazing.
You have more exciting stuff to talk about, I think.
I don't know. It's a close race.
Yeah?
Between home renovation.
Okay. We'll spill the beans here.
Sure, sure. This past weekend, I went to PAX Convention, PAX Unplugged, which is an expo of upcoming and, of course, already released games that are not electronic. That's the concept behind this convention. So board games, tabletop games, card games, all featured prominently. I finally got to go to an event live representing my YouTube channel, which...
Amazing.
Which is... thank you. Thank you for the plug. Which is Wintry RPG. But I... I've never shown my face ever on my channel. So it was certainly a moment where I got to hand out little business cards and little stickers. And the second person I spoke to, which was a stranger, I was trying to, you know, I was maybe you don't know, but I was basically, no, I'm so sorry. Let me start from the top.
Please elaborate.
My idea as an introvert, I needed an in. I needed an icebreaker to start
plan.
A conversation.
Yeah.
With anybody. So what I did was I printed 40 pages of cover art for tabletop RPGs and then put blue tape over the title so people would have to guess what the game was. It was a little bit of a game, and if you won, I just gave you my business card and a sticker or a keychain. Yeah, it was wonderful and it was very fun and people really got into it because they were very hyper-competitive, you know, gaming convention.
That sounds great. Were they good? Did they do good?
So to also break the ice, because I couldn't just walk up to people, right? I am... Very
you can't just do that. You can't just walk up to people.
So what I did instead is I bought a big old oak tag piece of paper and I wrote on it, ask me about TTRPGs, win a prize. And I just lugged a big old sign.
I love how this is your like introvert plan. I'm like, what do you mean you're an introvert?
I don't know how to approach people. It's very hard.
You're like the cool version of an introvert, I think. Like, yeah.
My grand plan was now they will approach me. I don't have to initiate.
Smart.
So all throughout the day, from the corner of my periphery, I would hear, I'm asking you about tabletop games. And I'm just like looking around. I'm like, oh, a person who wants to talk. It's start conversation, you know?
Honestly, that does sound amazing. Yeah, I love it.
What was great was that the second person I spoke to on the day, I gave them my little business card thingy with my name and my YouTube channel on it. And they're like, oh, I think I'm already subscribed to you. Oh, arrow in my heart.
Yay.
The first time that's ever happened. I was like... I was just like, no, that's crazy. What are the odds?
I love you so
There's
much.
There's only so many of you. Yeah, it was so great.
I mean, you got a good following going. Like, let's not, like, you're not in the hundreds, my friend. I think you're doing freaking well for yourself.
I think it just caught me off guard. I'll paraphrase this because it was a long weekend and it was wonderful.
I love that for you.
I got to run into two very prominent D&D YouTubers. Nerd Immersion and Dungeon Dad. They both have 100,000 subscribers at this point. So I snuck my way to the booth they were staying at, and I didn't introduce myself. I just told them about the game, and like they gave me some snacks and some freebies, and they played the game. And eventually the whole booth got involved, which was really cool. It was like nice. 5 or 6 people.
Oh, that sounds
great.
And
then when I finally hand out my little business cards, they're like, oh, you're Wintry. Oh, we know your channel. I'm like, oh, my heart. Is this is 3 sizes bigger?
They're aware
That's
of you.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Oh,
I'm so happy for you. This is great.
Yeah.
Did they watch your stuff, or was it like, oh, we've heard from...
Yeah, they watch my stuff. That's so crazy. And then...
so much love. It's great.
I booked like a 15-minute session with Jeff Stormer. Jeff Stormer is the creator of the Party of One podcast, who releases an episode every week of him playing a new tabletop game.
Yeah, you mentioned it, I think. Yeah, sounds great.
And he's close to 400 episodes. So I have felt all throughout my little career this year that I've been kind of following in his footsteps and looking at his blueprints, right? He's very much a predecessor of what I'm working towards.
Makes sense.
And then I finally get to him and I show him the little mini game, and he's like, I've actually been so excited to play this all day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my heart is bigger than it should be. It's probably unhealthy. We have this wonderful...
Great.
Yeah. We have this wonderful 10-minute video of him just guessing through the games and doing very well. And it was just like a whole blast.
I mean,
blast,
he should do, so, probably. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less from all these people at this convention.
But yeah, those are the highlights. It was very fun.
So
I was exhausted.
Dude. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can imagine. Yeah. You're catering a lot of needs here, I think. In the best way.
I had the big old backpack
the
whole time.
Who wants to play games? Everyone here ever, because that's what you're here for. Yeah.
So hopefully it becomes a recurring thing, and you know, we'll do that next convention. But yeah.
You cemented yourself in there. I love it. And it sounds super fun. So great.
Anything else to talk about before we jump in?
I think we got like a bunch of shit covered by now. Yeah. I think I'm good.
Okay. Sure. For today's topic, as we do every episode, we start the episode off talking about one thing relating to world building and storytelling. Mm-hmm. I know the topic, Merla does not, and we discuss it. And then we eventually end the episode with a improvised prompt that I also toss towards Merla that she does not know.
Yes, so, I know nothing.
Things to look forward to.
Let's go.
It's a fantastic format because every other week, one of us does not have
does
to prepare.
Does not have to prepare. It's lovely.
Very, very
it's,
fun.
It's the best decision we ever made. Yeah.
So today, surrounded by plenty of games over the weekend, this was at the forefront of my mind going home. And it's a concept that I feel like you might understand a little better than I do because have more experience at this point. Today, we're going to talk about the concept of solo journaling games.
Yes. Oh, it's my favorite already. This is great.
We got to break down what it is.
Yeah.
Why it is, how it is, that sort of stuff, right?
Yes.
So I have to preface that. Actually, let's just do the definition first. So I have this from the internet of the definition of solo journaling. It is tabletop role-playing games that are played by yourself, where you write out a story with various gaming aids. Mm. Different games introduce randomness in varying ways, using dice, regular or tarot cards, and even sometimes Jenga towers. You are writing an account of your experiences from the perspective of a fictional character, place, or person.
Super fair.
That
makes
a fair
total
definition.
Sense.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. We've both played tabletop RPGs for the better part of almost 5 years now, right?
Oh, God. That's a number. Yeah. It's true. That's a lot of years.
But
yeah,
that is a lot of years. That's plenty of years by now. Mm. But I have never... Why am I holding this? I have never gravitated towards solo games. I'm not a big fan of solo games in video games. I traditionally play party games only. Like Baldur's Gate 3 is actually pretty difficult for me to get into.
I was going to say, because you did talk about that one, but that's a more recent one anyway. So, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not a solo video game person. Huh.
I think I was when I was very young.
Does make sense somehow, I guess.
Yeah, as I'm older, I'm like, the appeal of this is the company. It's a reason to hang out with friends and, you know, do things like that. And that's how kind of I viewed tabletop RPGs for a very long time.
Hmm.
But when I was introduced to solo journaling, my first impression or my first thought was like, but why?
Why would you
what's the tabletop RPG the people at the table, right?
Yeah,
but this is a huge thing. There are hundreds of journaling games out there, and I'm not just looking for your insights into this, but also trying to sort out for myself the appeal and why I should get into this, and maybe why our listeners could find something they really like in something like this.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Anything to add to, I suppose, the definition of this sort of game?
I mean, similar to tabletop RPGs in general, as you said already, like there's so many different ones out there. Like you can't even talk about two D&D games being the same, right? And they're even the same system.
Of course.
So to talk about two solo tabletop RPGs or journaling RPGs or whatever the game is, right? They're just so different. I mean, I haven't played like heaps of them, right? I played a few, like a handful.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, well, that's maybe even, I played, I think, two or three. That's a handful, yeah.
Yeah, it's a hand-filling amount.
but they're still so different. And you're also going to them for different reasons, or I enjoy them for different reasons.
Mm.
Or I would play them because I would want to feel a certain way. And I think all of the games I've played have, because you are basically with yourself, it's kind of as if you're writing a story, right? Which is similar to all TTRPGs, but specifically for solo playing, you are the only person putting in input aside from the game itself. So if you're looking for something that is going to get you to a certain place, you need the game to be sitting in that area or in that direction.
Hmm.
And that counts for all games, I think, but with solo playing, I feel like it's very important because you have to find the middle ground between the game and your own imagination, right? Because it's a very active thing. Like famously, I guess, for team playing a TTRPG like Dungeons and Dragons or, you know, as a social activity, you don't always generically have to be on, right? You can sometimes just chill for a second and be the audience of the game and just take a breath. But in solo RPG, that's not what you're there for, because you can't do that because you're the only input. And you're the only person making changes and sort of going through the motions of it. So in order to find whatever you're looking for, you really need the game and you to sort of have an interesting direction that you're going, because otherwise you're not going to stick to it. It's like reading a story that you don't like and you're like, well, I'm not going to go here. Like, why would I spend time reading this if I hate it, right? That means that solo RPG can be so varied, which is great, which is a wonderful, like, feature of the genre. But also it means that no game is ever the same, and it's a very active thing versus having fun around a table with friends. It's a different feeling or a different kind of way of playing or something that you will end up with. I don't play solo RPG necessarily for chilling out. I'm really doing it for the creativeness of it, because it's a very active thing. Like if I'm very tired from the day, I can't do solo RPG because it's taking a lot of energy, right? Because I'm the only person doing it. Yeah, so there's different aspects about it that are very interesting to me and good to really talk about and have a separate episode about, I think. Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah. What I really liked about what you said, that these games are supposed to evoke a certain emotion, right? They're supposed to kind of pull you in a certain direction or way of thinking. For people unfamiliar with what these look like, solo RPGs or solo role-playing games are often filled with prompts or questions that you are inclined to answer to progress the story forward. So it would detail, oh, you're in this situation. You have to figure out what's going on here. What does that look like? What do you do? Right? It's up to you to fill out the answers to the questions posed to you.
Yeah.
Which honestly, for me, as someone who has a lot of difficulty just writing or pulling myself into a creative mindset, it's really convenient to have this book that asks you a whole lot of questions of being like, oh, yeah, that's a great question. Let me answer that. Oh, that's also a good question. Let me figure that out, right? Like, it's intensely difficult to pull only from your own imagination.
Yeah.
Even when writing for like world building and all that, you pull from the inspirations of material and media that you've liked, like your favorite shows, your favorite books, all of that.
Yeah, it's really how it works.
What's cool about solo journaling games is that they provide the premise, right? They provide the bedrock foundations, and all you got to do is color in the details.
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it. Yeah.
And the end result looks different for everybody who plays it. So it's very cool that I can write a story that I didn't expect to write. I think it's really cool that it could be inspired by something unexpected and surprising. And I myself will be impressed by what comes out of it, which is super duper cool.
Yeah. If I can add one more thing to that.
Of course.
I think it's great that you mentioned sort of the relationship between pulling everything out of your own mind, right? Out of your own creative mindset versus having a system there to, you know, poke you and prod you and sort of get that out of you. because that's really the difference as well. And it's not, one thing is not really per se better than the other thing. It's really just if you're looking for a certain, I guess, vibe or, you know, themes that you want to play with or things that you're exploring, it's so useful and efficient even if we're going to talk about like practical reasons for playing, to have a system there that will give you that input. Because if you're a writer, really, if you're not into the mood, you're not going to get there. What I'm trying to say is that I really see writers, let's just stick to the written example for now.
Of course.
But it counts for all creatives in my opinion. A writer really builds their work on a system that they like. For instance, writing super long sentences or having only one character that we follow throughout the thing, changing over time. I don't know, I'm just saying stuff, right? But you have your preferences as a creative person, or you have things that you're interested in and that you're exploring in a work. And the system, if you're not writing, you know, just with an empty page and you start and you hope that you finish somewhere, the system is there for you to just start filling in a blank space, right? It's already there. It's just asking you specific things instead of the sort of overwhelmingness of a blank page where you want to start your story.
Yes, yes.
I think what writers do, writers without the system there that they are sort of borrowing or sort of interacting with, they first have to sort of create that system for themselves, which is, how much am I writing? What are my characters? What things am I exploring? Is this like a world building heavy thing? Or is this just people having a dialogue? Am I writing a theater text, right? Like, it doesn't really matter because you can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the boundaries there, it's really hard to write. Like, writing intuitively like that, some people can do it, but I can't do it for my life. It's really like, if you want something to become substantial, I guess, and I'm talking about a work, right? Like a fiction or whatever, or a world, or, you know, anything. It needs some sort of rule set or some sort of understanding of what am I getting myself into as a reader. And that system is there without you even having to write one single word, right? You have to think about that as a writer. And if you're a solo RPGer, that system is the game. And that system will provide you that structure. And if you like the system, if you love the game that you're playing, then you're going to write a specific kind of tale or, you know, journal or whatever it is that you're going to really enjoy, because the system is there to have fun with, right? Yeah, like one way or the other, it doesn't really matter. And it's not better to do it totally from your own brain or worse to do it. Or, I mean, I guess it's maybe harder, but also, like, does it really matter how you do it? Like, you know, like, plenty of people, like, we see it with D&D all the time. Like, you start writing a story in your D&D campaign and suddenly it's a great story and you're like, wow, I want to write a book about it. Or they make a TV series out of it, you know, and that's really great, because then the back and forth, I guess, dialogue about it is that it's really like, where's the system start and where does the story end? It doesn't really matter. But with solo RPG, the system is really jumpstarting you into a story that you already like because you like the game or you like the system that you're playing.
That's such a fantastic point. I've never thought about that, where if you're trying to do something creatively or write a creative story, no matter what, game or not, you're going to need some sort of foundation to build upon as you move forward. And these games provide you that foundation. It's whether you write it yourself or you pull from a book to help you get started. It's not really a change in process. That's just kind of changing the color of the foundation. You know? Exactly. Yeah, I've never thought about it that way. That's really cool.
And sometimes if you're a writer not thinking about the system, the structure or the system, quote unquote, that you create can just be what you said earlier, like pulling from inspiration. Maybe your structure is just three words where you're like, I want to make like a cyberpunk samurai slice of life. Right? And then you're like, cool, that's it. I got to figure out what that means. Well, I'll do it on the page, you know, and then that's enough sometimes.
Right, right.
And sometimes people are going crazy and super intense about it and they become like Tolkien 2.0, where they're just like writing out the whole thing without even having like a story yet. And they just make up the whole Wikipedia about it, which is also cool. And, you know, it just depends what you like and where you're going with it. And some people figure out the structure after they've written a bunch of shit. And then they sort of distill like 90% of trash out of their intuitive writing. And then they see, oh, I like this part. I like this part. This paragraph makes sense. This character is cool. And then that's where they start.
And also, I feel like understated benefit, you don't have to schedule with anybody.
Yeah.
There's no like, oh, we can only do every third Saturday 2 months from now. It's famously only Tuesdays and Thursdays before three for
hard
me.
Hard to schedule, you know, that kind any of thing. Social interactive games. Yes.
So if you're really looking for that tabletop itch and you cannot wait for your friends who cannot get off on weekends, you should absolutely try one of these out. And another thing that just kind of clicked for me. Mm-hmm. As we were talking about this, it is called a solo journaling role-playing game. But at the end of the day, it is a creative collaboration between yourself and the person who wrote the book.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Like there's a whole lot of feedback that goes into what you're writing about, the direction of the story. While you do have full control of the endings of all the thought pieces and the completionist of the story, there is somebody kind of pushing you forward, which is already written on the page, mm-hmm. which is super nice.
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it. Yeah.
Feels a little less lonely to me.
It also reminds me of when we were playing the duet RPG of Tangled Blessings, right? From our famous, mm-hmm. exciting friend and RPG maker, Cassie Mothwin.
Quick tangent on that. I did get to run into Cassie at the convention, oh, which was super nice.
Amazing.
And nice little talk.
Oh, beautiful. I love it so much.
And she won an award at the convention night. And I'm just
cool.
Wait, she's kind of famous now, which is nice.
And I know her. Oh, so great. Oh, I'm so happy for her. That's so cool. Love
Many
that.
Many props to her. Sorry, continue. Yeah, but I interrupted my fault.
No, very important interruption. Yes, that was necessary. But yeah, it reminded me of Tangled Blessings because that's actually like meant for solo RPG, but you can also play it as a duet, right? It's a sort of unique system in that way that it's flexible enough to do that, which is very cool. So we played it together, but the game very much feels like a solo RPG because it's very prompt based and very sort of timeline focused, which I think is great. And something I see in more of these games because you're kind of looking for the story arc by yourself, right? So a lot of the times what works in these kind of games is that the structure has a specific sort of time skip system in place where you're like, okay, this is the first month and this is the second month, or this is the first school year, right? Which was in the Tangled Blessings RPG that we played.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense that games intended for one person are also playable with two. I'm seeing as it's really useful in these journaling games to have somebody you can bounce your ideas off of.
Yeah.
I know specifically in Tangled Blessings, like you would play yourself and also detail what your rival is doing, but it's also a very convenient place to put just a second person. Mm. So this naturally ties into like duet RPGs, which I also very much like. It's just a fun experience all the way around.
And you recently made a great video about duets. I really liked it.
I did.
Yeah.
Check it out on Wintry RPG, duet RPGs. You should really check it out because my stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, do you have any recommendations for games that people can play? I have three or four listed here that I kind of want to mention, but
yes.
If you want to drop any off.
All the ones I played, I loved. I forgot the name of one of them. As we were talking, I would try to remember it, but I can see if I can find it later and we put it in the description or something. But yes, the one I'm currently playing is called Coraco. And it's very heavily based on the amazing, lovely, wonderful movie Kiki's Delivery Service by Studio Ghibli. Mm. It's the sort of tale of a coming of age story of a teenage witch finding her way in the world, starting up her own witchy business in a new city. That's kind of the idea. Well, I'm not finished yet, but the game itself is both very interactive in the way of like, you need dice, you need a tarot card set. You need a journal. You need to like actively write each entry down, which I wasn't used to before because I haven't played a game like that earlier. So I got like a physical journal and I did the whole hassle and I sat down and it was honestly a lot. Well, not a lot of work, but I was like, God, am I really going to put like all this effort into a game that I might not even like? But then I did. And it was an amazing moment because I really had to force myself to like properly sit down for it because I had to like do all this stuff and figure out the system. And it was really nice. And it's based on like, well, talking about time skips, actually, like they do a sort of structure where it's based in seasons. So every season you pull around 7 prompt cards that can either be a character that you meet or it can be a sort of occurrence or like a, you know, a happening or a scene in the day or how do you say it? A day in the life of. Yeah. And as you do that, you sort of build up your character and your city gets developed. So every time you meet a character, you meet them in a new place and you build upon this sort of visual map that you're making of the new city that you're exploring. It's very, very cool. Big, big recommend. It's on itch, I think. Yeah. And 2 other ones that are a bit smaller or shorter. The first one I ever played is called, I think, Bear or bear, I should say, the English one. In Dutch, that word is beer, which is why my pronunciation was weird there.
Sure,
but
sure.
This one is like, I think a 2-page RPG or something. It's super short. And basically all it is a sort of, I guess you could call it like a meditation. You just sort of read it and it tells you what to do in the moment and what to think about. So it's basically, if anyone's familiar with meditation, you might have heard of or experienced like the sort of body scan that you can do, where you really sort of focus on each part of your body and see what the emotions, or if there's any tension, or where people sort of guide you through sort of scanning your body. And it's made as a sort of relaxation technique, or a technique to sort of be really in the moment. And it's very similar to that in the way of like, they're basically using a sort of body scans. How are this particular part of your body? Like, is your neck cold, or are you feeling tingles in your body anywhere? The answers to those questions are what drives the story forward. So if you're feeling a lot, then the story changes, or you have to sort of interpret it in a certain way.
Got it.
So it's sort of in between a meditation like that and a story of, I think, a bear. I forgot kind of the story, but it was really cool because I've never played a game like that before. And it was a really short sort of introduction. And then two other ones I played are like, I think it's called Anamnesis, which I also sort of forgot the premise about, but maybe you can talk a little bit about it.
I'm pretty sure it's a character who has lost all of their memories and kind of have to recollect who they are and what they've been through. Something along those
lines. Yeah, and I think it's also prompt-based like that. And it's fairly quick to play. I think I played it in like 1.5 or 2 hours in just one evening. And it was really nice. Sort of one time. It was like going to the theater, but like in your own, you know.
In the comfort of your home.
I was like, no, that sounds kind of wrong. But the thing of like having like a 2-hour time span and then being finished is really nice. Like it feels like as if you're doing a sort of solo experience and that's it. Like it's not a serialized
like a
forever going
moment.
On. Yeah, cinematic moment, I guess. Yeah. And another one was a slice of life tea shop run by like forest animals, which I forgot the name of. It was great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's it was so like great. On the water, and you were like, pick your tea shop. What would you like it to look like? It was amazing. Yeah. God. Everyone should play solo RPG. It's lovely.
I have a couple that have been on my to check out list for a good long
Let's
while.
Hear about them.
As someone who hasn't delved into them. But I think one of the first and one of the more famous ones is Thousand Year Old Vampire. Thousand Year Old Vampire is a book that looks beautiful in person, by the way. It's got all the textures of like proper letterings in an old journal.
Cool.
It's very nice.
We love it.
But the whole concept is you detail your life as a vampire. And as time passes by, you run out of pages. So you have to choose which memories you're getting rid of to fill with new ones.
Oh.
It will you result wow. in like a fragmented past of memories that don't quite connect to each other, only holding the moments you hold valuable and not the time in between.
That's so cool. Oh my God.
Which is spooky and interesting.
So is it a journaling thing as well or no?
Yeah, it's a journaling thing.
Oh, nice. You can physically like make the pages. That's cool.
Yeah. So you handle the prompts one by one, basically fill out the journal, and it's like, oh, dang, I have no room for this new one, so I have to get rid of this old one. And it's like, yeah, it's super duper cool.
So interactive, yeah, and really nice.
Artifact, A-R-T-E-F-A-C-T. Yes. A-R-T.
You
made
that so hard.
Let me try again.
Did it just spell the word artifact? Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, well, artifact has an I. There's an E instead of an I. In the middle.
Really? Oh, okay.
Did I say that? Hey, whatever. Let's find out.
It really doesn't matter. Also, yeah, you'll find it.
Anyway, it appealed to my RPG senses because it's a game where you play as the weapon and you detail the history of the people who wielded you.
That's cool.
So it's like super duper snazzy. I love storied weapons and weird, weird cursed personality weapons. It's my biggest thing in like D&D.
I feel like I've just learned something about you. I want a sword that disagrees with me.
It gives me issues. Right.
See, I think you're meant for solo RPG. Like, you just don't know about it yet. You just don't know that you like it yet.
That'd be really fun as like an NPC to just bring along with the party.
I mean, yeah, that's basically a solo RPG on its own. Like, just having a disagreeing sword. That sounds like a solo adventure, if there ever was one.
There is another one that I was looking into called Apothecaria. Apothecaria is one where you play as a village witch who every week you have to heal a new patient. And to do so, you have to like look for ingredients. Oh, you have to go into the village.
That sounds so wholesome.
You have to learn about like the past of your predecessor, things like that. So the pitch is that it's Stardew Valley, but you're a witch.
Oh my God,
and
I think
that's good enough for me. You know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you ever play it, please give me a review.
Sure. And the last one I wanted to check out, because just the premise of it was mind-blowing to me. I loved it.
Oh, okay.
This is called Project Echo, Echo ECCO, and it's a game about time travel and seeking out a specific object.
Oh, God.
But you have to continually jump through time to do so. And you do it by pulling out a planner, like a planner with months, days, and years.
Oh.
And you mark down the days that you've been to.
Oh, that's cool.
Fill out your planner.
Oh, that's nice.
You fill out your planner with journals of what you do on specific days, and you jump forward and backwards, and you get to an end. And I'm like, oh, that's super sick.
God, that's
really,
great.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Because you could be like, oh, this happens tomorrow. This happened last week. So
I nice. Don't think I would be able to play it because I'm just so bad at time travel. I'll never be able to like wrap my brain around it. We're doing like that thing in our D&D game now. God, I'm so scared. I can't. I'm so afraid.
Oh, yeah. Just but casually going back in time.
Yeah.
Erasing the entire progress of our campaign.
I don't know why we keep doing that. It's terrible. Yeah, I don't know. But it sounds amazing. And I love that they use a planner. That's dope. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's already room for journals and a planner. There's already room in there. It's so cool. It's so cool.
It's true.
So check out all those games. Those are a couple of plugs. Let's close out this episode with a prompt.
Yeah.
I'm going to tap into a little bit of the Koriko aesthetic here because I feel like you could pull a little bit from that.
It's only my favorite topic in the world. Yes, let's go.
For today's prompt, I want you to detail the journal entry of somebody who has chosen to travel abroad to a city that is distinctly magical when they are not.
Oh, that's a nice little twist on the end. Okay.
Non-magical person arrives in magical town. This is one of the first journals.
I'm going to have to like
journal entries.
Try my hardest to not like literally just do what I'm doing in the Koriko game because it's so similar, but it's great.
You
it's
can.
Great. Yeah.
Here's the secret. You can. Nobody's read it. Nobody knows.
It's true, but it feels like that's not what I should do. It feels like it should be its thing on its own.
Then.
Yeah, yeah. Let me see. Okay, I'll pull like a little bit from it because I like this idea. So the place is magical, but the person is not, is what we're saying, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, unless it's more interesting to flip it.
No. We're good. No. I like this. Okay.
What was that?
It's like my brain is kind of like wrapping around this idea. Day number one. It seems like I've traveled for years with the amount of things I've seen, places I've traversed that I've never seen before. I didn't know the world could be so large, and yet here I am. I've seen forests in my time, but I didn't realize they could be so different from each other. I didn't know they could be so big. I've traveled almost all day and the beginning parts of the night to get here, and it was pretty hard to figure out like a way to make fire because I'm not used to like having to do it by myself. Usually my mother used to just make it with a blink of an eye. And I never realized it could be so hard to be a non-magical person if you're so used to having magic all around you. But in the end, I made it work and it felt really good to do it by myself, to just make a sort of campfire and to sort of feel that I can do it, that I'm not incapable on my own, even though it's a bit lonely. And this night, as I was getting ready for having a night under the stars, I guess, I realized that the campfire was sort of, it's hard to describe. It's almost like glitching a little bit or trickling as if it's like a sort of stream of water going the opposite way. That's almost what it looked like. And I noticed that a lot of the sort of fauna around was really reacting to the fire in a strange way. And I don't really know what that means, but I realized that there's a lot more life around me than I initially thought. There's fireflies everywhere. It's almost hard to feel like it's a dark night because there's so much life around. There's strange sort of exotic dragonflies here that are like making constant noises around me. It's not quiet here. I thought I had just stumbled upon like an open site in the woods here. But as I was sort of getting ready to go to sleep, as the campfire was sort of trickling and being this weird beacon on the side of my little makeshift camp here, I realized that the ground was in the same way not entirely stationary. The way the campfire would be lighting up and sort of shifting in the air was also the way the ground felt when I put my hand on it. It was not solid. It didn't seem material in ways. It was very strange because I'm not, at home, that's not what the forests do. And at first I thought it was something that I just didn't know about in this world, but Maybe it's just this place. And it didn't really feel right to lay down, so I started to sort of look around more. And I noticed that there were all around in the boundaries or in the edges of the trees, there were large, large cracks in the floor, almost as if this was a sort of platform on an otherwise very moving and shifting landscape. And a strange thing was the sound that I was hearing. At first, I thought it was the local, I guess, plant life and forest life around me. I realized that it was coming through the cracks in the floor. And it was not just that, it was also like a strange sort of light or a sort of reflection coming through. And I tried to look down, but I couldn't really see. So eventually I decided to walk around a bit more and see if there was something beneath this place that I wasn't aware of existed before. And after about half an hour of just walking around, and to be honest, I was very tired at this point because I've been walking all day, I realized that this was not just a sort of empty space, but that in fact I was making a campsite on top of something living itself. It almost didn't feel right to disturb it in a way, but it's as if the forest itself had an opinion here. It's very strange to write this down, but it did feel that way. And in a world where you're the only non-magical person, it very often feels like you're the main character because you are so different and because you're seeing everything from a perspective that's not the usual one. But being here on my own without anyone, maybe even realizing I'm here, honestly, and with this sort of sense of magical life everywhere around me, under me, in the floor itself that I'm sleeping on, made me realize that there's a lot of things that are bigger than just one person. And it's strangely comforting, I guess, in a way that I haven't really felt before. So I think I really feel more ready to explore this more because all day I've been so anxious about sort of doing it on my own and feeling as lost as I've always felt. But I think I'm a little less scared now that I know that things around me are so much full of life and just taking my existence as a speck on the otherwise very large world. And I think that's very, very comforting. So I'll see whatever tomorrow brings, but I'm not really afraid of it anymore now. And
I'm like, I was looking at you, I'm like, they can't see your hand motion. Nope. At the end. You got to say something.
The end. Finn.
That was cool. I liked that.
Yeah. Struggling a little bit. I didn't really know where I was going, but you know, okay. I think it worked.
It's interesting vibe.
It's hard to like write a journal, but then like say it out loud. That feels confusing in my brain. But it worked out. Sure.
My favorite part, which I found so interesting, was like being the only non-magical person in a magical world. I'm kind of the main character. And I'm like, that's bold. That's a bold thing to say.
I mean, it's true, right? Isn't it?
I feel like we always speak of non-magical people in magical worlds as like disadvantaged or like less powerful.
I mean, if magic is as common as gravity, right? Like someone who is anti-gravity is very, very unique.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm curious about where this kid came from. Why they have... they seem so comfortable in a magical world. I think it's I think it's charming. It's just like you'd expect them to hit all the tropes of like, oh, I
wish I had magic,
powerless. Yeah, I wish I had magic. But this kid is like,
also
magic,
by the way,
kind of overrated.
Credit where credit's
kind
due.
Of everywhere.
This was a little bit inspired by a very old story from a friend of me who wrote basically a sort of superhero novel with the main character being someone without powers. And I loved it. And I've never read it like that. So it's a little bit tapping into that.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah.
Love it. That said, amazing.
I suppose we'll wrap up this episode.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening once more, getting through my ramblings in the beginning. And hopefully this gives you a good reason to check out some solo journaling RPGs.
I'm so glad we gave them some love because I feel like no one knows about this. Like RPGs are already niche, but like solo RPGs, God, even RPGers don't know what solo RPG is. Yeah. And it's so great. It's just such a unique way of just having a sort of self-care moment and enjoying a sort of very well-written story that you made. And it's really lovely. So great topic.
Yeah. I think they're on a rising tide. I think more and more people are being exposed to them, which is super duper cool. With that said, that's all we have for this episode of The Podcast.
Yes.
If you'd like to reach out to us or contact us, or if you have any ideas about future episodes or things that you've thought about or recommendations you've thought about while listening to this one, you can always email us at yourriversarewrong@gmail.com. We also have a Twitter that we never update, and a couple other things we never update.
I love how so we feel really obliged to out, like, keep saying that like as part of the announcement. Just to not have any expectations. One day someone is going to Twitter us and we're not going to see it and we're like, oops.
No, no, no. We will see it.
So
we definitely will see it.
Email is the best way to reach us almost always.
Yes.
And as you build out these stories on your own or with a crew, as you continue to world build and storytell, there's always one thing you got to keep in mind that is true in every world, in every timeline, in every journal, and that is your rivers are wrong.
Yeah, your rivers are wrong.
And they're so wrong. your rivers. I'm talking to
that's
you.
Just it's any your rivers. River. Yeah, like check your rivers specifically.
They're your rivers.
Did we have this joke already?
Have
before?
A good one.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Rivers Are Wrong. If you have ideas for topics, prompts, or you just want to share your thoughts, please reach us at yourriversarewrong@gmail.com. That's yourriversarewrong@gmail.com. Also, a big thanks to Maarten Schellekens, who created the intro and outro music for our podcast. And most importantly, thank you for listening. We hope to see you at the next one. Bye.